Welcome back to Aware. This is Lisa Garr. And do you remember we talked a while ago about the law of attraction? Esther and Jerry Hicks were on, and basically the law of attraction says that we often create by default what we are giving our attention to. And we get what we're giving our attention to, whether we want it or not. So if you're constantly thinking and saying, I can't seem to get a job, then that is what you will create. Or if you're saying or thinking, I can't afford this or that, that's most likely what you're going to create. So would you be open to the possibility of changing that, of changing the way that you create right now? We're going to expand on this principle with two of the guests that are in studio with me right now, and I'm so glad to have you guys here with me in studio. And we're going to be learning some practical tools on just how to do that, how to transform your consciousness. The name of the book is called Shortcut to a Miracle, How to Change Your Consciousness and Transform Your Life. Joining me in studio is Michael Rann and Elizabeth Rann Arrett. Thank you both very much.
How are you?
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa.
Great to be here.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
It's great to have you both here. Now, I understand that you are both science of mind practitioners.
That's right.
And if you could tell me, I'm going to start with you. Elizabeth, tell me a little bit about what that means.
To be a science of mind practitioner.
And what you
and minister.
Said, minister.
Well, we are both ordained ministers of Religious Science International. And as also practitioners of religious science, which teaches the science of mind. You may be familiar with that, wonderful book written by Ernest Holmes. And a practitioner is someone who has had a certain amount of training, formal training, and done a certain amount of casework with practitioner clients where they've had wonderful success in bringing about a changed consciousness and a changed and transformed life situation.
And now, why did you guys choose to write a book about miracles?
Well, because actually everything in our life is a miracle. And we take a look at the sky, we take a look at the universe, etc. Why? It's all a miracle. We're wired for miracles. And the only reason people don't have more good in their life, demonstrations, and you said it before, is because they go around complaining and they say, I can't have this and I can't have that. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
The universe responds.
Automatically. Mm-hmm. Anything we talk about, the universe will give to us anything we choose. In the book, we have 17 miracles that have come from our practices. And people that, a young man who had AIDS, doesn't have AIDS anymore, cancer, gone. You know, business people who are going under and they changed their lives. But they first had to change their thinking. See, sometimes people talk about attitude, but what is an attitude? An attitude is a sum total of all that you've been taught from the time you were a baby. Maybe you were told you're never going to amount to anything. At some point, you have to change that thinking. You have to change that the positioning that you've been put into. And when you do, things begin to change in your life. Now, on the surface, when we talk about these things, and we've been on many stations, and we've been doing a lot of seminars, people, they look at us, but when people begin to utilize the principles in the book, they do an aha, wow. You know, we talk about the law of belief, and that brings about the law of expectancy, which automatically brings about the law of attraction, which you mentioned before. People hear the law of attraction, but they don't realize that it starts back at the belief system.
And then that goes to?
Expectancy. And that automatically triggers into the law of attraction.
Give me an example.
Oh, for example. All right. In fact, this is a funny example. This is a true one. In the church that I have in Chicago, there was a lady who was afraid to drive on ice. And the saying went around that she was expecting to probably have an accident. So the law of attraction would bring that to her. So nobody wanted to ride with her. And sure enough, one day she had a mishap when she was trying to drive on ice. She brought it about herself. And it really wasn't such a bad, nicey day. But in her mind, if I'm driving on ice, I am going to have an accident. And so it happened. And that, of course, I'm giving you an example that is a small example. But the same thing is true with people in life.
Well, it's most likely that when you're driving on ice, you're...
Not necessarily.
And slide, but not necessarily.
Have an accident.
Right.
Exactly.
Or another example would be the person who truly believes in their ability and they have a good self-esteem. And they're applying for a job and they are expecting to get this job. as compared by someone else who goes in with a great deal of uncertainty. The belief is we all have a number of core beliefs that go back to our childhood, from what we're told about ourselves and the world. How safe is the world? Where do we fit in the world? Are we prettier than, smarter than? Do the Joneses have more money than? You know, that kind of thing. And this forms a basis of core beliefs within us. And those beliefs trigger the expectancy that we have because we have our expectancy from our beliefs. We've come to believe this. And it grows and develops. And the law of attraction is, well, it's actually something that's being proven by quantum physics today.
Explain that. You talk a little bit about science in your book.
We do. We have.
Can you tell me how law of attraction is scientifically being proven these days?
Well, the law of expectancy is being scientifically proven, and the law of attraction is yet to be scientifically proven, I believe, but certainly the law of expectancy, science is finding that as they work at the quantum level, the quantum particles, respond to the expectancy of the experimenter. If the experimenter is doing the experiment for position, the little quantum particle stops and becomes a particle. If they're testing for motion or where the thing is going, it becomes a wave. It changes its form and becomes a wave. If they change their mind, then the particle changes back again. So at the quantum level, science is demonstrating again and again that the universe does respond to our intention and our expectancy.
And then basically through wavelength patterns.
Exactly, the patterns and the fields, and that develops into what we are drawn to. The spiritual principle is you magnify and increase that to which you give your attention. Whatever you focus on, you draw it into your world, whether it's good or whether it's bad.
Now, sometimes, even though you maybe go to a job interview and you really, really want that job interview, you might not be aware of the fact that you're sabotaging yourself out of that job interview.
Exactly.
How do you get to that core?
Well, so many times people think that they're not worthy. And they go into this job, and the job might be something that they've always wanted. But they start saying things like, well, gee, I don't know if I you'd have to really be lucky to get that job. And there's so many good people applying for that job. And that begins to become an expectancy that wavers your confidence. On the other hand, if you start thinking, I know, and by the way, you can't overlook the truth. I mean, you can't lie to yourself. But if you're saying something that's the truth, I'm really right for this job. I can do a fantastic job here. In fact, I can do this company a lot of good because I'm right for the job and I'm good for the job. You go in with that kind of an attitude, it'll show. And the person, the interviewer, will feel that. Will feel that you're right for the job, and you could get real consideration.
There's an unspoken communication that takes
place.
Right. With all of us.
Now, this negative thinking, these patterns and so forth that are running, how do you suggest getting rid of them?
One of the things that you can do to get rid of negative patterns is to just replace them. You see, and that sounds simple, doesn't it? But, for example, we had a client years ago. We had an advertising agency. And, by the way, this is where some of this started. We saw one client real successful and another one not very successful, and even though they both spent the same amount of money. But we had a client one time, and his advertising wasn't working, and he got to the point where he began to believe he was negative. He says to me, how do I change my negativity? I says, why don't you, why don't you make your own advertising campaign? What does that mean? I says, write out a bunch of cards and put them wherever else you can see them, and do things like, that I know that with the power of the universe, I'm unbeatable. Nothing can stop me. I'm greatness. I'm doing good things. Now, this guy, it was during a Super Bowl game that he was watching. He wrote, I don't know how many dozens of cards, and he put them in his shorts, and he put them with his socks, and he put them in his files. He put them here, and he put them there. One day, he's supposed to call this one client. And this one client was someone who he always had a problem with because the client was the son of a very rich man, and he always was jealous. He picks up the man's file and opens the file, and it says, be kind to everyone. And he realized that he was sabotaging himself because when he would call on that client, he already felt animosity.
Uh-huh.
did he change and his business soared? Because we get always get what we give out.
A listener just called in with that exact same question that I was trying to ask you. Even though we attract, I mean, if we attract negative things because of negative thinking, when you only expect good but got bad, what is that? An unconscious or subconscious belief that you really can't have it?
It could be.
It could be.
It could also be that you think you're thinking good when you're not thinking quite as good as you want.
How do you identify that?
Okay, we talk about that in our book. And one of the things, we go through a series of negative thought patterns. We call them thought patterns because it isn't a thought that is going to change your life. Change your thinking, change your life. We've heard that, and it's very true. But one thought isn't going to do it. It's a thought pattern that is going to do it.
Multiple thoughts?
Exactly, which creates a field of energy and responds to a field of quantum energy.
Right.
And we touch on that in the book a bit. But basically, to get back to the negatives, we talk about things like complaining. Now, some people are habitual complainers, and they don't realize that when they're doing that, they are sending a message that they're not in control of their own life. Things are happening outside themselves.
You know what, Elizabeth? I think people understand that.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't think people have enough of right now is the opposite. Can you teach us, in your Science of Mind teachers, give us some words, some verbiage, some language, some programming that we can use that will get us to that positive place?
The first thing is you have to identify it. And I'm not sure that I agree that everybody understands their negative thinking. We find differently in the people that we work with.
Oftentimes people don't realize that they're negative. For example, your neighbor gets a new car. And he's, oh, gee, what they have to do to get a new car? I mean, I'm driving this old junk. Right away, it shows envy. And if you're showing envy, you're saying you can't have that, so therefore this is why you're jealous of that person. It's so subtle. These little things are subtle. It becomes a revamping of our thinking. But once we revamp that thinking, our lives soar.
The businessman who has, let's say he has a situation where someone doesn't pay him a big amount of money, then he's got a major business problem. Now, he can either focus on the solution to that problem, or he can focus a lot of energy on resentment toward that man who didn't pay him.
And criticism.
I think you guys, because you're located in Chicago, both of you,
right.
And you might not have a chance to listen to the show too.
Okay.
I've probably had 95 guests on this year that
have already talked about. Okay, great. Okay, so, getting rid of it. Okay.
Let's move on.
So what do they do? You have to have prepared the positive thing that you're going to say. You've got to catch yourself away on the negative thing.
And over and over.
And you've got to replace it because nature abhors a vacuum. And our thought patterns are habitual.
Replace it with what, though?
You replace it with a positive approach to whatever the situation is.
I'll give you a big one. The fellow who got rid of AIDS.
Yes.
Big one.
Go for it.
I'm an open channel through which the healing currents of God are now flowing. I'm an open channel through which the healing currents of God are now flowing. He said it 1,000 times a day. All of a sudden, a different doctor came into his life, a different nutritionist, et cetera, and so forth. But you see, he had to pay the price.
But beautiful. That's what I was looking for. Something we can use. Tangible.
Absolutely. Right.
This depends on what the situation is, Lisa. With respect to blaming, you have to change your intention there and take responsibility for where you are. I am responsible for this situation. I take responsibility for it. I claim my power by doing this, and I choose to move through this. And you open then to the power and intelligence of the universe, providing the right answer for you.
Once you can get off beating yourself
up. But you've got to stop the beating up.
Right.
That's right.
Now, back to that whole thing of sentences. I often get to that place where I say, wow, okay, now that I know, identified what's going on, and I'm going to start here, present time, present moment, and I would like to create something in my life. Then I get to that place of, all right, how do I do that?
How do I create the thing that I want in my life?
Uh-huh.
Well, first you read the book.
Shortcut to America.
That's
right.
Exactly. Barnes & Noble.
So you're changing your consciousness. This book is mostly about changing your consciousness,
which is what you're talking about right now.
About changing consciousness.
And that's where it's at.
It's about changing your belief system.
That's right, because we live our belief system. There are people who, if they got $1 million, it's been proven people win the lottery and all of a sudden they go in debt because they've gotten rid of all that money. They couldn't handle that money. It's our belief system. There's people who were born to succeed, they say. But the only person who was born to succeed is one who believes that he was born to succeed.
Well, you have some really valuable tips in the book, and I'm going to read them for you guys,
okay.
Even though you wrote them. But you have 8 simple steps to a miracle.
Yes,
right.
This will give people practical ways of moving from that place forward.
Exactly.
Right.
That apply to all miracles
right.
in any category, any area of life.
Being very clear. What do you mean by that?
Well, knowing what you want. In other words, for example, if a person wants a certain kind of job, even though you might take another job in the meantime, you know this particular job is what you want. And you prepare yourself. You do the things that can only be done by you to be ready for that particular job. You're clear. You're clear. This is what I want. And then you say this or better, because sometimes the universe will pick you up and put you in something even better. But you've got to be expectant of there's something better.
What if you don't know? I'm sorry. What if you don't know how to get there? Like, I would love the Aware Show to be at a national level so you guys can hear it in Chicago. I don't know how to get there. How do you do that?
Okay, you don't have to focus on the how or the when. What you need to focus on, Lisa, is the what.
The what you want.
This show at a national
level.
So you just feel that. You just put yourself in there. You visualize, you affirm, you pray, treat, whatever you want to call it. But mainly, always focus on this show. I am hosting a talk show at a national level.
Right.
This message has to get out to the national audience, and I am the perfect
channel
and vehicle
it's
for it.
It's valuable what people hear me talk about. It's valuable, and people need to hear this.
People need to hear this all over the country.
Indeed. Walter Starkey calls this double thinking. And we talk about that in our book, that we have to live at the level at which we're operating. You know, we have to handle the things, even if it's a serious financial problem. We have to handle the bill collectors and the whatever it is. So we live at one level, but we think at another level. And that's the level that we want to have our feeling level and our get ourselves all energized. And this is the power that goes out into the universe attracting that which allows it to happen.
Have you ever had this experience where you really want something and it comes through and you're surprised?
Yes.
But that identifies your fear around it? Because you didn't even realize, by the mere shock of the fact that you got it, it identifies the fact that you had fear around it. It's so funny how sometimes we don't even know that
exists. That's it. You hit it on the head. So many times we don't know that we are actually putting ourselves in a position where we are actually moving our good away from us because we're afraid of it. Maybe we don't deserve it. Maybe it's too good for us.
And fear is a powerful emotion.
And here's a big one that so many young people are brought up with. And that is that instead of being confident and telling people how good you are raised with, well, self-praise stinks. In other words, don't go around saying how good you are. Mm. And that's a big one. There's a lot of young people that are raised with that. Instead of
a lot of all-age people are raised with that.
But no, right. I have read articles that you're talking about as the over-praised child now coming into the teenage generation. I I'm not speaking on this very clearly because I don't really remember the article, but it has something to do with lack of humility.
That's right.
And even though I have a almost 3-year-old at home, constantly telling her how beautiful and cute she is, because I love her so much.
And she's beautiful and cute.
Right. That's right.
But my husband and I are always conscious, like, wow, maybe we should stop this. But
no, don't stop it at all.
The thing is that our point is, and what you're saying, is you need to believe this inside yourself
right.
and take that out into the world
right.
with
yeah.
your humility.
Because then you can expect the best because you feel like you're the best.
Yes.
See, you're not.
And that's not conceited, by the way. That's not conceit. There's conceit is something else. Conceit is someone who doesn't really
better
think he's so
than.
Doesn't believe
yeah.
it.
See,
right.
you're not telling your daughter that she's prettier than anybody else in the world and that everybody else is homely compared
oh, yeah.
to her.
Right, right, right.
And so that's a big difference because for her to have confidence that she's an adorable, loved little creature is just one of the most wonderful things in the world.
So, and thank you. I agree. 8 simple steps to a miracle. This comes from Shortcut to a Miracle.
Right.
We talked about, and Michael Rann and Elizabeth Rann Arrett are with me. being very clear is the first step to a miracle. Expecting the best, as Michael was talking about, another step. Letting go of the fear, mm-hmm. which we just covered.
Mm-hmm.
Opening your mind to all of the possibilities.
Right.
And this would apply to you, Lisa.
Right.
That,
as a matter of fact,
open to all possibilities.
Yes, you may have a nationally televised show.
I was just going to say the same thing.
You're very attractive. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Radio is wonderful, but you know, TV isn't so bad either.
However, we can get people like you to a bigger place.
Exactly.
However
exactly.
that works. So seeing yourself as you want to be was the fifth step.
That's right, seeing
what
yourself.
You're talking
and to
about.
Stay there mentally
right.
all the time.
All the time.
As much as you can. And if you slip off and you find yourself flogging yourself or discouraged or whatever it is, you get back up there again. You just do that. You stay there and you keep focused on what it is you want in your world. You get to choose your good. You get to define it. And the power and the intelligence of the universe responds. It's a spiritual
The universe will take care of the rest for you.
Isn't that nice to know?
Mm-hmm.
The universe is a pretty big thing. It can handle
yes.
a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
it's
it
handling
can.
A lot
yes.
right now. So I also like this other perspective that you talk about. Keeping the power, not talking about it a lot.
That's right. Not telling people what your dreams are.
Why?
Well, because sometimes well-meaning people will all of a sudden say, oh, don't expect so much. Gee whiz,
sure.
you know.
I'm gonna start a business, Michael.
Right. Yeah, you're going to start. Oh.
But I don't have a lot of money, but I'm going to get some money today.
But don't you know that it's hard to get money today and the
I'm
business.
I'm going to borrow some from my mother.
Oh, but you can't do that because what if you use it up and it doesn't work right, then you're going to feel guilty. Think twice because, you know, the interest rates are going up and gee, was
Jim
be
said
careful.
Maybe the economy wasn't so good. Do
well,
you think so?
Well, you see, the economy is really so fluctuating and you uh-huh. might get caught up in it and it's not going to work for you. Well, the truth of the matter is it doesn't matter what the economy is and it doesn't matter what's going on around you. You will attract to yourself your good.
And that's why you don't necessarily share it with other people, but
right.
yet you still empower it by speaking about it. So
right.
who do you talk to?
You talk to like-minded people.
Right.
Like-minded people.
Right, and only people who are...
Maybe that's yourself in the mirror.
Exactly.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with that,
sometimes
Lisa.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes. And then and the last thing that you say is pray and pray often.
That's right.
That's a good point.
Pray and pray often.
Pray and
intention
pray often.
Setting.
Exactly.
Talking to your highest self and whatever else is connected to
exactly.
that.
It doesn't matter who you pray to
Listen,
or how you pray.
That's right.
Whatever your spiritual practice is,
prayer is prayer.
It.
Great. Well, you can find out more information about their great book. It's Shortcut to a Miracle. Shortcut to a Miracle. I said that pretty fast. And you can look it up at shortcuttoamiracle.com.
Right.
And Elizabeth Rand and Michael Rand. I'll get it.
Yeah. You name Michael it. Rand, Elizabeth Rand, Eric.
Okay.
Right.
There's a lot of words.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining me today.
Oh, it was our pleasure. You're terrific.
Yeah. With your beautiful Midwestern accent.
I guess we can't hide that,
no,
can we?
No,
we're from Chicago.
Yeah, think?
And we're talking about the book.
The book.
Fun. All right, well, good luck on your book tour. And if you want to check out anything else, our website was having a little bit of a health problem. It's healed now. You can go to www.theawareshow.com and find all of our guests' information. Past, present, and future guests are on that site as well. Thanks, and that's it for me today. While I am completely committed to bringing you the clearest information possible, in the end, I always encourage you to stay aware. Until next time, I invite you to stay aware.